Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. Yesterday's first ever test of the National Wireless Emergency Alert System did not reach all cell phones. State and federal officials are now working to sort out the kinks. KBBI's Aaron Bolton reports.
The alert message originated at FEMA's Washington, D.C. headquarters and was sent through its internet-based Integrated Public Alert and Warning System, or IPAWS. IPAWS is designed to alert Americans about national threats, such as a terrorist attack, but the system also works with the emergency alert system broadcasters use to alert the public about regional emergencies, such as floods. Savannah Bremer is the Region 10 spokesperson for FEMA. She says responses to Wednesday's test of the wireless emergency alert system have varied.
Some people didn't receive it at all. Some people received it multiple times. Some people had their phone on silent and only heard a vibration. And really what I'd love for listeners to know is that the purpose of this test is to find those problems and errors so that we can fix them.
There were issues here in Alaska as well. Alaska-based wireless carrier GCI recently integrated with the wireless emergency alert system. Customers previously needed an app to receive emergency alerts on their phones. Spokesperson Heather Handyside says 90% of GCI's towers received Wednesday's alert, but she says the wireless carrier is still trying to determine if there were any internal issues.
Some of our customers did not get the alert. And so right now we're trying to assess the situation and figure out exactly how widespread the message was and if there's any pattern in the customers who did not receive the alert.
GCI was not the only carrier to experience problems. Several AT&T phones, including mine, did not receive the message, while others on the network did. An AT&T spokesperson said that the company's internal system worked just fine during the test. Verizon also reported a successful test, but did say that some phones may have not received the message due to loss of signal, out-of-date software, and other technical issues, something FEMA also noted in its response. Bremer says FEMA is also working to sort out possible issues.
Compile the feedback and in about a month's time be able to report out.
FEMA is asking for details on whether phones were on or off and the location of the phone during the test, among other technical details. Reporting in Homer, I'm Aaron Bolton.
It's up to U.S. District Court Judge H. Russell Holland to decide if a federal civil rights suit filed against the city of Fairbanks will proceed. Judge Holland heard attorneys argue yesterday over a city motion to dismiss the suit filed by Native men known as the Fairbanks Four. George Freeze, Marvin Roberts, Kevin Pease, and Eugene Vent allege racial bias-driven police misconduct, including coercion of false confessions and fabrication of evidence, led to them being wrongfully convicted of murder. New evidence pointing to other suspects in the 1997 beating death of John Hartman resulted in a fall 2015 hearing and an agreement with the state under which the Fairbanks Four convictions were vacated. City Attorney Matt Singer says the agreement does not meet the standard required to sue for damages.
There's a United States Supreme Court case that requires that before somebody comes to federal court in this kind of lawsuit, a malicious prosecution lawsuit, they first have to show what's called a favorable termination in the criminal case. And to do that, you have to show that you were essentially that you're found innocent.
That's an issue in the Fairbanks 4 case because although the agreement vacated the men's convictions, it did not make any determination about actual guilt or innocence. New York-based civil rights attorney Anna Benvenuti Hoffman argued on behalf of the Fairbanks 4. She contends the agreement with the state constitutes a positive determination and leverage for a civil suit.
Once someone's been exonerated, once they've been, the conviction's been vacated, you know, they don't have any further incidents, they can vote, they're not registered as sex offenders anymore, you know, all of those things are gone, then that's when you can bring suit in federal court.
Judge Holland will decide which interpretation is right according to precedent. Another Fairbanks 4 attorney, Mike Kramer, calls the matter tricky.
There's, many, many similar but not identical cases out there that both discuss the validity of these types of, release dismissal agreements. As well as the, what was discussed as a favorable termination rule. Very few cases that have ever involved this type of situation.
Kramer says he expects Judge Holland to issue a ruling on the city's motion to dismiss the case within a short time frame. Marvin Roberts, one of three of the Fairbanks Four who was in attendance at oral arguments, expressed optimism following the proceeding.
We just hope for a positive outcome, and we just like to thank all of our supporters who got us here.
The Fairbanks Four are seeking damages from the city for 18 years they spent in prison. Under the 2015 agreement they signed with the state, the men agreed not to sue, but they say the deal was made under duress. Three additional men from India killed in an accident on the Parks Highway Monday have been named. Alaska State Troopers identified the driver of a van that hit a pickup while illegally passing south of Cantwell as Siva Viramachani. Van passengers killed in the crash are ID'd as Dr. MVVS Murthy and Patabi Ramaya Chowdhury Vantapalli. A fourth van occupant killed in the crash was earlier identified as Basava Velavola. A fifth man, Venkata Kadiala, survived the crash but sustained critical injuries and remains hospitalized in Anchorage. According to Indian press articles, the five men were in Alaska for wildlife viewing. The University of Alaska Fairbanks' new athletic director recently weathered a hurricane as he prepared to travel north from his longtime home in Savannah, Georgia. As KUEC's Lex Trinan reports, Sterling Stewart will have to adapt to more than weather as he transitions to life and work in interior Alaska.
Sterling Stewart was born in New Orleans and spent most of his career in Georgia, but sees being in charge of Alaska's flagship university as a career milestone.
Find my way to now where I'm an executive and I get to run an athletic department is even more fulfilling because I appreciate the journey. And now I arrived to the place where I want it to be.
That doesn't mean he's resting on his laurels.
Now, for me, the work just began. Now I have to prove myself.
Working his whole career in the South, Stewart hasn't had much exposure to some of the sports he'll oversee at UAF, but he doesn't think that will be a problem.
I'm a sports junkie. I've been in the South for a while, and where football reigns supreme, and now I get an opportunity to be involved with skiing, be involved with swimming and hockey, and they compete at, and rifling. They compete at a natural, at a very high level. So I'm excited about learning the rules, and not just the rules, but learning the strategies. I'm a person who I love to learn strategies and know and different reasons why people do different things in sport.
For the past 7 years, Stewart has been the athletic director at Savannah State University, a historically black university in Georgia, where he's been credited with balancing the athletic department budget. He'll be taking on fewer sports but a bigger overall budget at UAF and will still have a similar pressure to boost revenue.
For sure, revenue.
UAF women's volleyball coach and hiring committee member Brian Scott pointed to Stewart's ability to work with tight budgets and raise money as attributes that led to his selection.
We need to be able to generate some revenue to help our programs compete at the level that they need to be.
The UAF selection committee also cited Stewart's background in marketing. Stewart worked as an events promoter in college and already has some concrete plans for pumping up Nanuk Nation.
Securing an apparel deal, create an athletic association to ensure that athletics can function at a high level, and three, a capital campaign.
Stewart starts work as UAF athletics director on October 8th. In Fairbanks, I'm Lex Trinan.
And I'm Dan Bross.